joining us in the Dorkadia podcast. This is Megan Spur.
John Spengler.
Charles Spur.
John, you just did like a victory punch in the air.
Yeah, I had to strike a pose. I said my name. It's like my thing.
Oh, no, no.
No, don't dab. Jesus, no, what the fuck are you dabs. Doing?
I want the audience to imagine the deepest dab possible. And that's what I'm doing.
But why do we have to see it?
Yeah, please stop. Okay, no, I'm going to circle back to, we had a podcast last week where we talked with Josh about Link's Awakening.
Last week on the Dorkadia podcast.
Yes. Yeah, so what was your guys' impression on, I understand the listeners have heard it, but I have not listened to that episode. What was your impression on?
Thanks, John.
Sorry, yeah. I didn't do my homework.
No, Gabe's fucking weird, yo.
Was that your takeaway? Because that's kind of fucking awesome.
Yeah, Gabe's fucking weird.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I mean, the whole inclusion of so much Mario.
Uh-huh.
Not to mention mixing Mario 1 and 2.
Yep, with the together. Shy Guys.
Yeah, the Shy Guys being brought into that was Pokey also being brought in was just like a weird amalgamation, especially coming out of Japan. Yeah. Where Super Mario Brothers 2 was exactly not a Mario game.
Yeah.
Okay, I didn't get that deep into it because I don't think I caught what was Mario 1, Mario 2.
Gotcha.
But I caught there's fucking Princess Peach and Mario related things that I did not quite.
Will Wright from SimCity is in there.
There's a lot of stuff in there that I didn't figure that it was weird that you mixed Mario levels, right? There's stuff in there that specifically non-Zelda things that I was confused by. But ultimately, the fever dream that I assume by fever dream, I mean too much saltwater dream that Link is having. Havening?
Havening. Yes, Link. Wow. Link's havening.
God.
Link's dreams, the havening.
That sounds like the M. For some reason, that's like the M.A. fucking 18.
Yeah.
Link's coming. So, anyway.
No,
so
like, this is the Pornhub version. Yes. That I just titled. Yeah, thank you. It's weird.
No, it is a really weird game.
Yeah.
So my history with the game. Oh, did you guys like it?
Yes.
Oh, I like the game. Absolutely. Yes. Yeah. I was actually not expecting it to be as quick as it was. I got through it about 15 hours.
Yeah, it's a bite-sized game.
Died twice, so I did not get the perfect ending.
Yeah.
Sadly, which Megan chastised me about last week, so that's fine.
Possibly.
How I ruined her experience.
Right. No, Link's Awakening, for me, I'm glad you guys keyed in on how weird the game is. It's like brief.
That's fucking weird.
No, it's super weird. It's like brief and to the point. It came out after Link to the Past, originally. Well, yes. Link's Awakening came out after Link to the Past. But I hadn't yet played Link to the Past when I originally picked up the Game Boy Link's Awakening, like originally. And I have these potent memories of sitting in the back seat of my parents' car while we're on an hour-long drive from my hometown to Duluth, Minnesota, specifically, which I just revisited and played Link's Awakening in, sitting in the back seat of the car and playing Link's Awakening and being weirded out by this existential crisis Zelda. You guys know very well my favorite Zelda game, which is not a Zelda game, it's Majora's Mask.
Right.
Yeah. Where it examines the idea of saving the day and what it means to save the day, and that saving the day is actually imperfect, and you don't get to control what you're saving. Link's Awakening, years, years, years earlier, pioneered that space, and as I'm going to guess 8 years old, I don't think it was 8 years old, maybe 9 years old. I remember sitting in the backseat of the car and beating Link's Awakening and realizing I just blew up the island. Well, spoilers for Link's Awakening, I guess. It doesn't matter, really.
It's over 20 years old. I think we're okay.
Yeah. But I didn't get to choose the terms of my victory. I just didn't get to be a good guy winning the day, beating the bad guy, everyone loves me. I actually blew up an illusionary island that I thought was real, aka I got to beat a video game that doesn't exist anywhere except as ones and zeros and in my brain, and I had to move on in my life away from the island and have this one, like, once-in-a-lifetime experience beating this game. And it was super important to me understanding what I like about video games.
I did misstate last week. I said that this game appeared between Link to the Past and the other Game Boy games, and it does not. It actually comes after the Oracle games.
Yes.
So it comes between Link It comes before Link Between Worlds, I guess.
I do not care about the Hyrule Historia. It's weird. Yeah. There's this whole, like, Link has saved the day and goes on side adventures thing to make room for the Capcom games, which are totally worth playing. Oracle of Ages and Seasons are really good. If you like Link's Awakening, you'll like those games. But, no, it is, timeline-wise, I don't really care because it feels like a cohesive unit all on its own. As long as you understand Link is a hero, you're basically fine.
Yeah, I think the idea was that he was on his way back from the Oracle games.
Yeah, yeah. And got fucked up on the way.
Yeah.
No, specifically, you guys bring up the weirdness. Like, Link's Awakening uses the language that the players have in their own brain of what Nintendo games are. Mario, Goombas, Piranha Plants, Shy Guys, specifically bringing in Doki Doki Panic as this, like, the zeitgeist of video games at the time.
Yeah. Yeah.
To make sure that the game broke the fourth wall and made you examine what you were doing in the game. Like, Link's Awakening was the game, for me, that set up the rest of the tropes for Zelda for literally the rest of the series, until Breath of the Wild. There was an owl giving information, which was totally co-opted by Ocarina of Time.
Yeah.
A ocarina with multiple songs that all had different effects. Sure, Link to the Past had an ocarina, but it was a one-time thing. It was stupid.
Yeah, yeah. It was to travel between worlds.
Yeah. Yeah. And it was just this great game that, like, boiled down into 15 hours, like Charles said. 15 hours of Zelda. Every single Zelda game since then, except for Breath of the Wild, has been Link's Awakening, and I think Link's Awakening nails it. I think it is a great game that makes the player examine what they're doing and revels in the idea of Nintendo games. It's just, it's my second favorite Zelda game, actually. Majora's Mask and then Link's Awakening.
So what you want are the not Zelda games.
No. Specifically, Majora's Mask is my favorite not Zelda game. It's Zelda. It's weird. It's an outlier. But my favorite Zelda tropey, in the main timeline, totally about dungeons and items game, is Link's Awakening. I understand Link to the Past is the obvious choice for the best Zelda game, and I get that. Link's Awakening is fucking better. I just will argue up and down that in 15 hours you get the whole experience of Link to the Past in 15 hours.
Wait, so as opposed to the original Legend of Zelda?
The original Legend of Zelda is more important in gaming. It's not my favorite, though, just as a player. Because it's like a creepy old game.
I'm curious. Why would you draw the line between that versus Link's Awakening?
What do you mean?
So, I see the original Legend of Zelda, which I did also play in the past few years. I played...
Yeah. I have two as well.
Legend of Zelda and then went to Link to the Past.
Yeah. And I'm not saying...
Skipped.
That's an awesome jump, actually. Yes. I like that.
She skipped Link's Adventure, which is probably a good idea.
No, Link's Adventure and Link's
Past. There's a lot of things in between those two. I, by no means, say that I am an aficionado on Zelda games or anything, but I'm curious because if I were to define a quintessential Zelda experience, I would say original Zelda.
Sure.
Because I think that is the dungeon crawler, get the items, go through the thing, save the girl.
Yeah.
That is, to me, it's Link going through all of these things, getting all the dungeons, getting the items in order to save Zelda.
Yeah, sure.
Mario going through all these levels to get Peach. I think that was the quintessential what they've been setting up. And it's all of these things that are turning that trope on its ear. But if you turn that trope on its ear, would you say that now that's the quintessential experience?
So I think what the original Zelda did for gaming was set up the false idea of the open world.
Well, the open world as it existed at the time.
Yes.
Yeah.
But I mean...
The closest.
Right.
It could get.
Like, there was a large map.
Yeah.
And you could traverse it as long as you had all of the correct items.
Yeah.
And there were dungeons you could get into.
In any order.
More or less.
More or less. Well, right. As soon as you could get to them. Yeah.
Right. You could go into them in any order, but you wouldn't have the tools to get through them unless you had done them in the correct order. Like, beating Dungeon 2 before you beat Dungeon 1, not really an option.
Yeah, yeah.
But it set up the idea of a game existing in a world as opposed to things that had existed level by level prior to that.
Yes. It actually moved video games away from the pinball idea of boards.
Yes.
And the arcade idea of boards into a more cohesive, centralized world that existed beyond the player. That said, Megan, I really like the idea of setting the primordial ooze, the DNA of Zelda, in the original game. And you're absolutely right. Like, the thing that Charles brings up specific, we're not retreading the discussion.
No. Okay.
The DNA of Zelda was set in the original game because it did pioneer new territory in video games where there was an overworld, there was an inventory. They had to make a new chip to put in the cartridge to, like, make the inventory work. It was bananas. It absolutely set the DNA. And I think this is an interesting line to draw that I haven't drawn until you said this right now. I think the DNA was set in the original game, but the design philosophy was set up in Link's Awakening, where the world is a puzzle to figure out that you have to navigate and use items just in the overworld to, like, get around. Like, every single screen. It's weird, actually, that the remake doesn't have the screens of the original, because the original's screen real estate was really important to the puzzles. It works. Everything works. But the smooth scrolling between the various areas was pretty weird for me to go back and revisit. The overworld that's a puzzle to navigate with the items, NPCs to talk to, that is ultimately important to Zelda. Like, characters in that Link gets to talk to are important eventually. That just wasn't in the cards in the NES one.
Yeah. It wasn't even that important in Link to the Past. Like,
yeah. There were NPCs to talk to, for sure. And you needed to do that to do some, like, quests, like Kiki, the monkey and stuff.
Yeah.
But you're right, it wasn't central.
I think that Link's Awakening really made that more important.
Yeah.
Like, it was just a novelty that the SNES could do.
Right. It was like Soul Blazer, where, like, you get to talk to characters because you're expected to, and then it doesn't matter to the fucking game. But in Link's Awakening, you have to go talk to characters to figure out how to get through puzzles, and how to get to the next dungeon, or how to navigate the Windfish Egg, or whatever. That was a book. But I feel like the design philosophy, like the two clicks above the DNA, like the actual design, the implementation of Zelda, that's a word I'll use. The implementation of Zelda was really solidified in Link's Awakening, while the, like, raw components were pioneered in the original Zelda. I don't want to say that the original Zelda is not important. That's my next favorite one. It's fucking great. It's a great game. It's super fun still to this day, and it's important in gaming in general. But, man, I appreciate the design of Link's Awakening way more, because the old NES game is fucking creaky as shit.
No, I don't think you're wrong.
Yeah.
I have a hard time separating the fact that you can only appreciate this going through that, right?
No, I don't think that's true. What do you mean?
I have a hard time thinking that you can necessarily appreciate or understand the changes that they've made in this game without having experienced the different games.
Do you think that someone new to adventure games, let's say, wouldn't appreciate Link's Awakening?
Not to the pedestal that I feel like you're putting it on.
Okay, sure. That's fair.
And I don't think that you are putting it in a incorrect spot. But I do believe...
Well, I can't. It's personal, right? Like, it's personal. It's super important to me.
No, and
there's a backseat of a car in the story. Like,
I don't disagree with that. I think that I'm in a different spot because I didn't play it as a kid.
Right.
So I walked into it not having played it at a young, vulnerable, impressionable age.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Yes.
Which is a word we used with Josh last week when we were talking about it, because it was the very first game that he really fell in love with, like, that he actually played.
Really?
Like, it was the Game Boy Color was his... The original Game Boy.
I'm glad that you had that response, because that is, Josh, every single panel I've ever done with him when we discuss what games got us into gaming,
Yeah. He
always starts with Link's Awakening and the story about how he got his Game Boy and his sister wanted him to get a Game Boy so that she could have it, and she wanted him to get Tetris, and he got Link's Awakening instead. And he has gone on this talk about Link's Awakening for fucking years.
Nice.
And all of a sudden, Link's Awakening, he's like, hey, when are you doing the podcast? And I was like, what the fuck are you talking about? And now I remember that he likes this game.
Yeah.
So I'm glad I'm not the only one that tuned that out. Really what I'm saying here. So, sorry, Josh.
I remember rose-tinted glasses. I remember the horror of your fucking panel.
Oh, God.
Thank you.
Yep.
Yeah, specifically, anyways, he got it because it was packaged with the Game Boy and not because...
Yeah,
because
the Game Boy Color came with the Zelda DX.
He played it on the original Game Boy before they did the DX version of Link's Awakening.
Oh.
So he had never...
It was a package.
Yeah, he had never experienced the Color Temple.
Oh, fuck that shit. That's so bad. I started that dungeon and stopped. I was like, nope, I did this once long ago. I'm done.
Why would you not go through it? Because then you can get double damage or half the hit points.
I just beat the game. I just beat the nightmares.
Excuse me. Some of us are not good at that, princess. Yes, thank you. High five. I worked so hard to work that into conversations. I didn't have to do that this time.
I linked all of the Zelda animated series in last week's podcast. It's in the show notes. The whole thing.
I'm so sorry that you linked all of this.
4 hours.
Wow. God, I used to love that series so much.
Anyway.
Oh, I just mentally combined the Legend of Zelda series with the CDI game. And I was just going to say I was so hungry I could eat an Octorok, but that's not the fucking series. That's CDI. Not CDI. Laserdisc? No, CDI.
That was the CDI. It was the Philips CDI.
Yeah, Philips. Yeah, right.
CDI? What? What are you guys talking about?
Oh, we have some shit to show. Do you want to play a real Zelda game? We got to play the CDI Philips Magnavox fucking Zelda game.
What the shit are you talking about?
We'll show you after.
There's got to be an emulator for that someplace.
Oh,
I don't know, man. It's a CDI.
This may or may not be in the show notes. If it's not in the show notes, we're going to leave you a note.
I'm so hungry, I could eat an Octorok.
There's probably a wiki in the show notes. That's about as good as I can do, I'm afraid.
Yeah.
If it's not on YouTube, it's going to be
here's
anyway.
What I'll say. The Game Grumps played the CDI Zelda through, and that is worth watching. Aaron almost dies. He fucking almost dies. He almost explodes playing the game. It's the worst.
So we might link to that then.
Yeah. I think that's
all right, I'll see what I can do.
That's the only true representation of the Zelda CDI game. It's someone yelling.
Just check the show notes on the website so we can actually find out how many people listen to the podcast.
Hey, give us a hit or two. No, I like the line between what is... And because this is a relevant discussion to gaming going forward, especially with Breath of the Wild and Breath of the Wild 2 coming out.
Yeah.
What is Zelda? And what people think Zelda is. Because it is totally 100% valid to say the original Zelda is Zelda. It really did pioneer the entire space that games like Assassin's Creed and...
Yeah!
And I'll say Skyrim, because I'm pretty sure that game came out after. And like, fucking, what game do I like? Dark Souls! Zelda's I'm Dark Souls! Like,
wait. No. Did you say that you're pretty sure that Skyrim came out
after
Zelda?
Elder Scrolls! I'm sorry. Elder Scrolls.
Yeah.
Yes.
But like, it's totally valid, Megan. But I feel that Link's Awakening, for me at least, is what I think about when I think about Zelda in the formulaic kind of, like, heroic journey. And also good introspection and, like, maybe a little bit of subversion of the heroic epic story.
Yeah. Wait, so before you... I'm sorry to interrupt
that's
you,
fine.
But I think in your adult John brain now... You are...
Give me a lot of credit, Megan.
You're mixing up the child John enjoying a game that really took a trope on its ear.
Oh, yeah, it did.
To an extent. Mm-hmm. But you had to understand what the trope was in order to understand that it was slightly different.
Yeah.
And it blew your mind that it did that.
It did.
Would it have blown your mind if that was your very first video game you ever played? I don't want to say that it is not... amazing in its own right. But I think that if that is your only introduction to Zelda, I don't think that it is as impactful as it is.
Here's my response. And this is my first response. This is my knee-jerk response. I feel like even without Zelda, I have the idea of the hero's journey in my zeitgeist, right? Like, yeah. I understand good guys exist, bad guys exist. I'm playing a video game to be a good guy to save the day.
Yeah.
I really do feel that Link's Awakening, taking away my ability to choose what victory meant in order to make me, like, force me to accept its terms of what being a hero is, even in the immature, weird little way that it did, right?
Yeah.
Where, like, the island disappears and the windfish wakes up and
yeah.
you don't get to like the animal village that you got to meet along the way, right? Like, that disappears. I still think, as long as I'm a kid growing up in the Western world with media, I still would acknowledge the fact that the game did something different. Would I have a larger appreciation for what it did for gaming in general? Probably not.
I don't want to say that it wouldn't be as good, because I feel like...
I think the game stands on its own. I don't think we're arguing that. Like, the game is a legit Zelda game.
It is a very good game. I just don't know, would it stand out as good in the world of Zelda games?
Ooh.
Without knowing...
Ooh, now that's an interesting question.
And I guess maybe that's not what I have defined well enough.
Sure.
Would it still be your number one Zelda game?
I like this
discussion. Or number
a lot.
Two yeah. Zelda game, given, you know,
Majora's Mask being a shitty Zelda game, but a great game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Without having the experience the rest of Zelda games.
So I think a lot of what we're getting into is game theory is the wrong word or phrase for it, because that refers to something completely different. But, like, just the theory of game making and the theory of crafting a hero's journey.
Yeah.
And what it means to be a hero in a game.
But it also defines what does this hero's journey. Because that's also defined in Wind Waker. Because there's also multiple of those things, because there's more than one Link. All of this.
Okay, first off, Wind Waker, surprise MVP of the Zelda series. Secondly, we could have this argument about any movie, any book.
We've had this argument about many books.
We're talking about the media as its own, and then also trying to, like, weirdly draw lines around its environment.
Yeah.
So what I think with the Zelda series specifically, and take this without me having actually ever finished the Oracle series and ever played
the
Link Between Worlds thing, which my understanding
is
it looks a lot like Link to the Past.
Yeah.
Like Four Blades, I've never...
I haven't played it. So Four Swords is...
Four Swords, too. Yes. Yeah, I never played Wind Waker.
Yeah.
So,
or
Majora's Mask, actually, come to think of it. There are several entries within the series that I haven't played. So my understanding of Zelda is limited.
Well, I know what we're doing next.
I'm flying into space right now.
Yeah.
Jesus.
Like, God, yeah. So, like, my entire Zelda experience was the original, two, Link to the Past, and then the next thing I played was Ocarina of Time.
I think a lot of people have that same experience.
Yeah. So,
and Ocarina's a flashpoint of game design, for sure.
Yeah. But from there, I went to Twilight Princess.
A lot of people did that, yeah.
Yeah.
And then, of course, moving on from there, Breath of the Wild.
No, I think you literally just described most people's experience with Zelda, honestly. Like, I don't think a lot of people played the Game Boy game. I think they went from the original... to Link to the Past, to Ocarina, and then the rest.
So, like I said on last week's podcast...
Wait, was Wind Waker in your...
No. Okay. I did not own a GameCube, so...
It's kind of boring. Also really good.
Boring. Shut up.
It
Get
is
out.
Kind of boring.
Leave.
You are forgetting the boring parts of that game, where you're on a boat, staring at nothing for minutes at a time.
I played Gabriel Knight twice in a row.
My problem.
You are... not understanding my acceptance of boring.
Your supernatural patience aside, that game is boring as fuck.
I mentioned last week that I did, in fact, play at least some of Oracle of Seasons. I never finished it.
Seasons is a good one, by the way.
Yeah, I never played Oracle of Ages, let alone the Linked game, to beat Ganon and do whatever the fuck.
I totally did that.
Yeah. Yeah, my experience of Zelda is fairly limited. So
it's not limited, that's normal.
Sure. So when I finally got around to playing Link's Awakening on the Switch, like, it was weird to not be able to save the day.
Yeah.
Because that was
interesting.
Not a normal experience I had with Zelda games.
Yeah.
My saving the day was shitty.
It really is. Like, you, I specifically remember, just to vibe on that a little bit, I specifically remember realizing, because, like, you go to the ruins, and you find out what it means to wake the windfish. Like, there is a plot point in the game that's totally optional, by the way.
Yeah, no, I did do that.
Yeah, to find out that when you wake the windfish, the island disappears. And the game doesn't play coy about it. Like, it's a Game Boy game. It's not very clever, right? It just tells you what's going to happen.
Sure. The owl comes back and says, like, well, nobody knows what's going to happen.
And all the nightmares up to that point, all the bosses are like, why did you come here? You're going to wake up the windfish. You're going to disappear too, dude. Like, what are you doing? Because they don't understand.
Right, because they don't know that you're from outside the dream. Yeah. Yes. They think you're going to destroy your own reality.
There is a whole discussion we're not going to have on this podcast about Marin being like some sort of death wish, by the way. Because Marin just wants to sing the song and she exists within a dream because she wants freedom from her own existence. It's real weird.
And then in the perfect ending, she turns into a seagull.
Yes, her suicidal death wish is granted.
Yeah.
It's a little weird.
Yeah.
But no, you're right. Like, the game's not super clever, but it does make it clear that, like, when you are saving the day, you're doing the right thing. Because the game makes it clear that the nature of the world is for the windfish to wake up. Dreams end. Things that are dreamed are real. But dreams are supposed to end. And you cannot get sentimental about it. Follow the course of nature and be the hero you need to be. And then you do. You don't have a choice about it because it's Zelda.
Right.
But then you do. And it's fucking hard. You wake up in the middle of nowhere and you're like, oh, everything's gone. Oh, it's so good.
So if we're getting into the existentialism of it, like, you're talking about, like, the dream and everything that is within it that exists and that being real, air quotes.
It's as real as the game cares.
Yes.
Also, the game's not real, but it's real in our hearts and brains.
But at the same time, the game and the story within the game cares about the fact that the windfish is trapped in a nightmare.
Yeah.
Like, the actual real, as far as we understand real, sentient being is trapped in a nightmare and you're rescuing
it.
Yes, the space whale. The fancy, fancy fucking space whale.
He has an Afghan on his head.
Yeah. We thought it was Yamaka.
Maybe.
Right. I'm Finnish.
I'm not.
Correct.
But I mean, it's trapped in this nightmare, and you are rescuing it. Like, the owl is just its own avatar within its nightmare to help you guide it to its salvation.
Yeah.
In doing so, you destroy all the figments of its imagination, which are also part of it, one would argue, if it's a dream.
Yeah.
But is it your dream or its dream?
Oh, it's a windfish dream.
Yeah, it's...
I'm confident saying that. It's fine. It doesn't actually matter.
So then, are you saying that Link is not part of this at all? This is all you're playing on behalf of the windfish?
Yeah.
Slash space whale. Yeah.
No, I honest to God think, like...
The windfish is neither wind nor fish.
Yeah. The windfish is Lord Jabu Jabu, as it is.
I assume this is what is taking me every time I go from the Earth to the Moon in Final Fantasy 2/4. This is the dream.
You know what? I thought that fucking airship looks like the fucking windfish, actually. Doesn't it?
Well, it's because it is the moon whale.
Oh, is it the moon whale?
Yes.
Oh, hold on. I need to look it up.
Oh, no. No. Wait. This is... Yeah.
I was fucking 12 when I played that game. Anyway.
I was...
Yeah, it has been a while.
Yeah.
I was younger than that. I hate both of you. Yeah. Anyways, okay. Yeah.
So.
Hey, you know what? We're going to discuss Final Fantasy VII Remake next time Hannah's here.
No, that was Final Fantasy IV. Shut up.
Right, it's about things we remember,
yes,
but aren't the same. Anyway.
Anyways, yeah.
So I'm confident in saying that it's the windfish summoning Link into his own dream. Like, the game, like, Zelda games are all about that. Link, the avatar of courage, shows up at a situation and fucking saves the day. Like, I get that. I actually don't question that at all. The core assumption of the game, whether or not you doing the right thing is palatable, doesn't matter whether or not it's Link or the windfish. Right? Like, things are still disappearing. What is real is still being questioned. But you're still clearly supposed to get rid of the things literally called nightmares. Jesus Christ. The game calls the bosses nightmares. Get rid of them. It's either you or it's the windfish. I don't think it matters. Like, I think the windfish summons Link and it's fine. But...
Right. Megan talked about this last week and was talking about, like, how we're destroying the monsters because they are monsters.
Yeah.
Like,
the game makes that clear.
Yes, they are monsters, and they are menacing the good folk of the towns.
Yeah.
Be it the village you were originally brought to,
yeah,
or the animal village.
Yeah.
Who you can't get to anymore because of the monsters.
Yeah.
Like, it's... There are clearly bad things in the world, and mm-hmm, that's what you're taking out.
Yeah.
What that... Whether that's, like, a ethical judgment call...
I think the larger picture of what is the natural order needs to be considered.
Yeah.
Because, like, if the story ended there, where it's like, oh, to destroy the monsters, you need to destroy everything, that wouldn't be very interesting. But there is the quandary between what is the natural order and what is what you want to do. Like, are you going to follow the natural path and wake the windfish? Or are you going to allow Marin and the cute animals and the adorable village to all exist by quitting the game and not destroying all the nightmares?
So this is War Games?
To not play?
Yeah.
No, it's Majora's Mask, man. If you don't want to fucking beat Majora's Mask, don't play it. If you don't want to fucking be a Hollow, don't play Dark Souls. Like, it is just the act of playing the game's important, man. Oh, it's so good. The act of playing Link's Awakening. And that's one of the reasons why I like it so much, actually. I'm glad that we brought this up. Like, the act of playing Link's Awakening is actually feeding into the themes of the game. If you are playing the game and going through the dungeons and killing the monsters and gathering the rupees and the hearts and the abilities and the items, you're waking the windfish. If you don't like it, don't play it. And the game has a serious thing to tell you about that. And you can stop playing it anytime. It's a good game. Like, and I think that's like a good criteria of a good game.
Sorry, I got distracted.
Yep.
Fuzzy ass right in my face.
Oh, to kind of bring it back to what Megan said about would I find it as groundbreaking if I just joined Link's Awakening, like, just dry, just, like, without any context.
Right, so you, like, you haven't actually done, yeah, a Zelda game in the past.
I think it's a weird example of Zelda that would take a little bit of trial and error to figure out, and I think it might be a little frustrating to, like, realize I need to go do the trading game or something, like, go advance the plot. I don't think it's perfect. I don't think it's perfect in that way. Like, it's not a perfect game for someone to swing into the series. So to answer your question, I would not appreciate it the same way
if, yeah, I just jumped. And I think that's it. All I'm saying is not to say that it isn't a damn good game. Mm-hmm. It's that I feel like it is a damn good game given the history of the series. Having even a rudimentary understanding, mm-hmm, of the history of it.
Do you think the original Zelda is better in that sense, that you could just jump into it? And...
Yeah. I think you can absolutely walk into the original Zelda or A Link to the Past. Either one of those. I feel like both of those games you can walk into with zero understanding or expectation and be able to walk out with the basic. Having the same experience as somebody who came into it with other experience. Huh.
I like that. Yeah, and I think that's totally valid.
I think that Link's Awakening doesn't allow you to do that.
Is in the interplay in the other installments in the series.
I feel like there is...
Huh.
You are coming to it forearmed, mm-hmm, and that's not to say that in any way does that make it better.
No.
But it changes your experience.
No, that's totally true.
And so I think that's the only thing I would say.
I'm going to scratch that and 69 it. For just a second, and say that it's not necessarily that I'm coming to the game with other information. It's that information of other installments in the series adds to the experience.
Yeah, absolutely. I'll take that. Yeah,
yeah.
I mean, that's the same.
Which is to say, I don't think it's an A. I see your point. It's not an A plus out of the gate. It's an A for me. It's an A plus comparing it to other installments in the series in the same way that it's like a brave fucking offshoot of what makes Zelda Zelda. And like, for me, it is the proof in the pudding that, like, the formula of Zelda works while also exploring other ideas.
You're making the same argument that I did about Dragon Age Inquisition, in that I thought...
It sucks, though.
I disagree.
I know.
It also won so many Game of the Year, so get out! Get out!
I think Link's Awakening is really in danger of losing to Untitled Goose Game.
Yes,
for a game
absolutely.
Of the year.
But hold that. I have to get to my Dragon Age point.
And oh my god!
Get to that. No, but okay. So I really enjoyed Dragon Age Inquisition.
Oh yeah.
Because I thought it was a good game.
Yeah.
I thought that what hit it out of the fucking park is how it tied in stories and tied in things from Dragon Age Origins, the Dragon Age 2, which I'm in the minority of in liking, really liking. You know, that I liked more than the others. But I thought it was a very good game, but what made it great was its tie into the other world that it built.
That totally makes sense to me.
Link's Awakening, I think, that what hit it out of the park for a lot of people is having a foundational understanding, and then how did this turn that slightly on its side? How did it move something else beyond that?
And then how dare you, Megan? How dare you turn my love of Link's Awakening into an appreciation for Inquisition?
Uh-huh, yep.
How dare you? I'll take your word for it. That totally makes sense.
Yeah. I will also say, I have no problem with you not enjoying Inquisition or not enjoying any of the Dragon Age. That kind of sucks,
but you know, whatever. I mean,
it doesn't suck. It just is not for you.
I work in video games
for a living now, sir.
Am I going to spite play that game? I think I might spite play that game.
It doesn't. No, no, you're not going to goat me. You're not. You're not going to do that. Mm-mm.
Okay, so one thing I wanted to bring up, because
Charles wants to make sure that I don't literally throw a cat at John. Yeah.
Was that Link's Awakening did, in fact, pioneer the trading game in the Zeldas. Like, that didn't exist before Link's Awakening.
Yep.
It became very much a staple in the Zelda games.
Yep.
Coming at it from having experienced Link to the Past, like, it definitely reminded me very heavily of that game.
Yeah.
It was like, it did a lot of that.
Yeah.
As an existential game, I think there are better examples.
Sure.
But as a Zelda game exploring those themes, I think it is probably the best.
Yeah. I mean, there's something to be said for taking, like, common tropes that gamers are used to and, like, judoing those things into a new idea.
Yes.
Which is a surprise joy to, like, play a Zelda game and at the end of it you feel differently than you expected to.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, super good.
So,
a Zelda game without a Triforce or a Zelda.
Yep. No, you're just a hero, but what does that mean? Ugh. Ugh!
So, can we talk about a game where you're not a hero?
Is the goose
Do we
not
need
a hero?
To fill the last, like, 15 minutes of this podcast
with
goose?
Is the goose not a hero?
Can I tell you how absolutely vindicated I feel when, for the past 2 years, I've been like, fucking Goose Game.
Yeah.
The Goose Game was my game of PAX, and everyone's like, Megan, you're fucking crazy.
Yeah,
and
no, it was definitely your 2018, like, game of PAX.
It was my game of PAX, and this year, it wasn't my game of PAX, but only because I knew, like, they had already announced a release date, and I was like, no, this is gonna
be day one of PAX, they were like, September 20th, Goose Game.
Yeah. Yep. Day one of PAX, I requested September 20th off because it was like, guess what I'm going to play? Fucking Link's Awakening and Goose Game.
Mm-hmm.
Fucking Goose Game is taking over everything. And it is topped Link's Awakening in sales.
Yep. It was number one at the time of recording on the Nintendo eStore over, like, everything else, including Link's Awakening, which was number two.
Yep.
I am.
To be fair, we bought them both on the same day, so
yeah.
I am not surprised, and I am very excited by that.
Yeah,
what a delightful fucking game it is.
Mm-hmm.
It is a short game. That being said, I haven't even finished it.
You haven't finished hard mode, which is the time trials.
Get through. So when you play Goose Game, for those of you who have not gone through it yet, you start at one level, which most people are aware of. That is the, you know, you're harassing the gardener.
The gardener, yeah.
The gardener, yeah.
But then
what the demo level was 2 years ago at PAX. I don't know.
Even
what it
this
was.
Year, yeah.
Was it this year?
Yep.
And it's what they've shown, like, screenshots of for the most part.
Yeah. But then you go in from that level to High Street, which is the shopping area, and then you go from there to the backyards of two different people, and then you go from there to a pub, and you're going through there, and then you go to the very last level where you are supposed to take an item.
Don't spoil it. I want to play it.
Yeah.
I haven't played it yet.
I won't. So there's an item that you're going to take, and you have to stealthily take it from the very end back to the very beginning.
Nice.
So Goose Game, Untitled Goose Game, is very much not necessarily a stealth game to begin with, it's very much a flap your wings and honk at every fucking thing game and be an asshole.
Yeah.
But at the end, it is kind of stealth game.
Yeah.
It is a goddamn delight. If you do not, if you don't research how to accomplish things, which some things I actually had to because for the life of me, I couldn't figure it out. You will actually scratch off things not only off of your list, you'll get through the second list because once you play through the game, then it opens up a additional things to do.
Okay, for like each level?
So, okay, look, like once you complete the game, the world is yours.
Yeah.
Right? You finish the game and now you can just like wander back through shit.
Yeah.
But now you have to-do lists that cross areas.
Oh, gotcha.
So, for example, there is a bust that is in the backyard area, and you are supposed to, in the original area, you're supposed to dress up the bust, which means take items from one yard and move it to the other.
Sure.
Now you're supposed to dress up the bust with things outside of the yard.
Sure, yeah.
So, where do you get that from?
Yeah.
You have all of those other areas to work from.
Gotcha. So
now you're trying to, like, how do you do that? So all the things you learned from these other areas, how do you get it from this thing? But now you have to bring it all the way back over
nice.
Here.
Nice.
There's one, I am not spoiling anything. There's one that's called Score a Goal. There is a child inside of the shopping area that has a soccer ball.
Yeah.
You have to get that soccer ball all the way from one area to much farther along. But there's also fucking gravity physics that are going against you.
Sure.
It didn't occur to me, like, not just moving it around, not having arms. Like, you can't pick up the soccer ball in your mouth.
No, you're a goose.
Yeah, you're a fucking goose. But getting it from the yard into the other yard, there's a hill.
Yeah.
It didn't occur to me as I'm, like, just running, because you're like, whatever, you're a fucking goose, you're just running. Sure, that's fine.
Yeah.
Until the ball, as soon as it stops, it starts rolling down the hill. I'm like, no!
That's amazing.
Oh my god.
I got the levels on that. What the fuck did you do?
Yeah, I feel so bad. Sorry. Honk. Yeah. Honk, honk. No, it's so.
Sorry, Dan.
Yeah. I love this game. I absolutely enjoy it. I have been recommending it to everybody. Yeah. Are you a Dark Souls player that just enjoys playing something over and over and over again?
Yeah, challenging games, doing challenges, yeah.
No, like, fucking Goose Game is just a funny ass way to do a stealth game.
Yeah.
Are you a family friendly player that just wants to play a game with your kids? You can honk as a goose and just annoy the shit out of people. You can do that. You can do, so many people enjoy this. The music is delightful. It is this beautiful piano that's going on as soon as you are not stealthily hiding.
Yeah, it's context based.
Sure, yeah.
So, yeah, as soon as things, like, get tense, the piano music gets tense.
Yeah.
So I know that Goose Game is going to be up against things like Last of Us 2, Gears 5. There's a number of Game of the Year, but
Bloodstain's on there, right?
Are you saying we're fighting? We're fighting for, like, gamer soul, like, going after Goose Game?
I honestly say that Goose Game is a contender for Game of the Year.
Sure, yeah.
It has my vote right now. Yeah. I am super excited by that. So, it's weird. I'm allowed to say that I work in the industry now. Isn't that weird?
Yeah.
Anyways,
it's almost like you have way more votes than we do.
Almost, but not really, no.
It's like you're Wyoming.
Nope. Walking away from that one. Anyways, fucking Goose Game.
Yeah.
I highly recommend it.
I haven't bought it yet. I will own it.
All that, I don't know if we actually plugged it last time, so it is available on the Switch or the Epic Store. So you can play it on Switch or PC.
Yep.
Personally, I like it on Switch.
Oh, yeah. No, I like the Switch. I like being able to play it on that controller.
Yep.
I didn't actually play it. I don't think I ever played it on the actual handheld device.
I
think I always did it on the
docked.
Yep.
Yeah.
Right, so original Switch, not Switch Lite.
I don't own a Switch Lite.
Yeah. No, but an undocked Switch would be the same.
Yeah. No, that's a thought.
I like the controller setup that comes with the Switch. Like the little controller joystick thing you plug the Joy-Cons into.
Yeah. The frame you put into. Yeah. No, I agree.
I also just like having the game on the TV, so maybe it's not as good on, like, just the tiny screen. But
although that is a weird consideration for, my buddy was playing Fire Emblem on the Switch.
Yeah.
And, like, if you want to play it on the handheld, the text is way too small, and it's not a setting you can actually change. So, sure. Like, you're kind of forced to play on the TV.
Well, so I would wonder about that with Link's Awakening versus playing that on
sure.
the
I actually handheld. Played it both. I played it on the big TV and, on the couch. On the handheld. It was fine. It was Zelda.
Well, I mean, that's a bigger screen than you got when you played it on the Game Boy,
yeah.
So.
Yeah. No, it was fine. Yeah. Right now, I say this, I think that Goose Game is my game of the year so far.
Yeah. I don't have a game of the year yet. Honestly, I don't know what it would be.
Yeah.
I'm playing a shit whack of Trials of Fire, but I don't know.
Yeah.
No, I don't see that changing. Like, Spiritfarer doesn't come out till next year, and then you'll feel all the feels.
Oh, yeah. No. Yeah. I mean, Goose Game didn't make me cry.
No. It made you laugh giddily at being an asshole to some little boy who just wants to play with his plane.
I kind of felt a little bad, man. One of your to-do lists is not only to tie his shoelaces and make him fall, it's to make him fall in the puddle.
Hell yeah, I gotta play this game! That's the best fucking spoiler I've ever heard for that game. Let's do this. Anyways. My wife is gonna love that game.
Yeah, she is. Yeah. Oh my gosh, I can't wait. Anyways, alright, I'm gonna end this because we're going to... I can opine about the Goose Game forever, so... Anyways.
So it wasn't entirely about Link's Awakening?
It was mostly.
Again.
It was still a different conversation.
It was.
Anyways.
That's true.
Thank you for joining us on Dorkadia. You can catch us at Dorkadia.com, at Dorkadia on most social medias. We're on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Music, and Mixer. Please give us a rating. We would like 5 out of 5 what's?
Dream-based existential crises?
Honks!
Oh my god, I'm gonna go honks.
Okay, fine, honks. It's just 5 honks.
Charles!
5 out of 5, what does anything mean anyways?
Oh my god. Jesus. Honk, honk!
Soma.
Yes.
Honk, honk!
Don't worry, you succeeded. No, you're the body that stayed on the planet.
Honk, honk!
Bye-bye.
Bye. Honk, honk!